We're passionate about bringing families together with our exciting board games and card games. Imagine you and your children will have wonderful fun playing together, and they'll get to be a whole lot smarter as a result. This is a ground floor opportunity with the next great network marketing company. Visit our website, www.greatnewgames.com, or call 866-350-4320 to order or to find out how you can take advantage of this amazing wealth-building opportunity. Once again...
It's actually talking about and putting out material on the occult element on the back of the dollar bill. That's the pyramid cap of the Al Sihai, and that the basic thrust of what's being put out today is this has nothing to do with Masonry, has nothing to do with the Illuminati. Anybody who's concerned about that emblem on the back of the dollar bill is obviously some sort of a conspiracy nut. And John asked me why I thought that they were doing that. And, well, as I said, I really didn't know if it was true or not, but if they were really trying to discredit people who were concerned about the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, that it obviously means that they're frightened that some people are beginning to wake up and realize the spiritual implications of what's going on today. Well, of course, when I got through with the program, I went up and got on the computer. And quite frankly, in a brief period of time, I couldn't find anything to corroborate the story. But fortunately, our listeners did, and at least three of them sent me links to articles that corroborated everything John said and pointed out that Condoleezza Rice is making a very large point of trying to convince the American people, along, of course, with the rest of the establishment, that that emblem on the back of the dollar bill really has no significance. And, of course, anybody who's ever studied it and studied the background and read the writings of the occultists, for instance, Manly P. Hall in the book The Secret Destiny of America, where he tells us this emblem has been around for thousands of years, and it represents this move towards world government, and of course, Manly P. Hall was a Satanist. So, I think it comes on pretty good authority what the emblem is all about. So I really do believe that they're worried. I believe we're having an impact, and I want to congratulate everybody out there in the listening audience for helping us to get that information out and just ask people why that emblem is on the back of the dollar bill. Have they ever read its history? Do they know it's been around for 5,000 or more years? And, of course, if you want to verify that, well, our interview with Professor Quigley, he talks about that emblem on the back of the dollar bill. So with that as a background, let's get to our special guest for this afternoon. Barry Shamus is an Israeli patriot, is very concerned about what's going on in his country, and with good justification, because I think that there's going to be a war in the Middle East. It's not a matter of if, it's going to be a matter of when, and Israel would be terribly, terribly damaged by it. Barry, you go ahead and pick up the story.
Yeah, I'm going to carry on with yours beforehand. I was watching Fox TV today, and there's the reason for the fuss is there's an exhibit in Washington on the dollar, and Fox TV interviewed the curator, and denied everything, that's the reason for the fuss. There's actually a dollar exhibit in Washington, and to Fox TV's credit, the announcer didn't believe the curator.
Good.
He said this thing is Masonic in some way. He said it's Masonic in some way. That's how he summarized the interview. Just to finish off your thoughts, there's a link to Fox TV in that interview. It was already sent to me. Luckily, I saw it live, so there's my contribution.
Thank you very much. In fact, if you want to send the link to me, we'll see if we can pull it down. But I think it's so vitally important that our listeners understand they're scared of us. They're scared that people are going to wake up and see what's going on, and going to begin to check it out, and they're going to find out that it is a Masonic emblem, but this is far more than Masonry, because Masonry is the modern-day manifestation of the ancient mystery religions. But you go ahead, Barry.
Again, I'm going to start, it's an obligation, really, before I go into today's story. We may as well wrap up what's going on. Look, I'm just getting the news now. There's an explosion in Damascus, and a Hamas mastermind was killed, and the Arabs are blaming Israel, because probably Israel did it, and there's great tension
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
The disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, disease, and earthquakes in many places." We are living in this time of Earth's history. Many people are trying to understand the climactic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. 2 Peter says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, and you do well if you take heed. But first know this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." The Bible says, "We'd like you to receive this new offer, Packet B, the Unholy Alliance." These materials document the global leaders, political and religious, behind the scenes. You will receive information regarding America in prophecy, tyrants and wars, the New World Order, and much more. As always, these materials are shipped to you at no charge. Please call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715. And ask for Packet B.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Shan, our guest is Barry Shamish, and so I'm just going to let him go ahead and talk. Go ahead. You were talking about this explosion over there in Damascus, and everybody's up in arms, and the leader of the Hamas, a terrorist organization, had been blown up. Go right ahead.
Well, Israel is on high alert. Now, I don't know if this will be the spark that will lead to the war. I had anticipated a Gaza invasion, and that's why Israel hasn't actually snuffed out the rockets, because they've been told outright that the minute you do that, you'll have 10,000 rockets on top of Tel Aviv. And I'll bet you behind the scenes that's a threat, because the Israeli public doesn't understand why the rocket threat isn't taken care of. And by the way, the Israeli Air Force can do tremendous damage to Gaza and the rocket launchers. It would kill some people, but a lot of Israelis now are dying. And, you know, this is war. Now, this is the issue I would just want to briefly talk about, is that in Sderot, a city that's been hit with 7,000 rockets over the last 7-8 years, two young boys got caught in a rocket attack 5 days ago. One 8-year-old boy lost his leg, and the other one looks like he's going to go too. And the people of Sderot, the ones left, there's about 7,000 of the original 24,000 actually living in the town. They marched on Jerusalem. They blocked the main highway, and they went to the prime minister's office and made a real attempt to actually rush the office and get the Olmert. And the police quite violent. They stopped them. They were intending, I suppose, to get to Olmert's apartment, put a noose around his neck, and throw him out the window. But for whatever reason, there's finally outrage in Israel. It should have been this way from the beginning of the cursed Oslo Accord. But the police came with their horses and their clubs and their dogs, and they snuffed us out, and they really scared, no matter what they tell you, they scared the residents of Judea and Samaria from reacting. Well, Shira popped after the children were hit with the rockets. Shira popped, and this was a spontaneous attack blocking Jerusalem from the rest of Israel, blocking the main Jerusalem Tel Aviv highway, with several thousand residents of Shirot who want Olmert dangling from the highest oak tree. So I view this, by the way, as very positive. You know, I mean, this is the way it should have been done, and as a result of the atrocity to the children, it was done. So that's going on in Israel, where there's just serious outrage, which will die down. You know, they'll forget about the kid in a day or two, and there won't be any more road blockages until the next atrocity. You've got a war in motion. Israel is being bombarded every which way with everything from rockets to rocks. A Jew can't go anywhere in Israel anymore without being in danger of being ambushed. And Well, the Jews are getting ambushed. The government is talking peace. Okay? There's no parallel between reality and what the people of Israel are feeling and what the government's doing. Now, you've got a situation where Israel's just being pushed into war. Now, however it happens, it's going to be a terrible, terrible thing for Israel when on the first day they find out how many missiles are sitting in Lebanon, how many missiles are sitting in Syria, not to mention Saudi Arabia, not to mention Fatah, and not to mention the Gaza Strip. Israel is going to be in a missile war, and frankly, I don't think it can win a missile war. The damage to the country will be so fantastic. If you look at the war of Lebanon, July of 2005, the whole of northern Israel abandoned their homes because of the horrible damage that 4,000 rockets caused. Well, just imagine 10,000 on Tel Aviv in the first day, and something is keeping Israel from fighting this war against Gaza. And I believe it's been told you start up in Gaza, and here's what happens to Tel Aviv. Now, just very quickly before I go into the main story, just to summarize again. Number one, a letter has been sent out supposedly by Rabbi Shlomo Abiner. He's a rabbi who made sure that the Jews of Gush Katif were removed from their homes. He was an inspiration to the youth of Judea and Samaria and got them to hand out orange pieces of rags at junctions instead of actually revolting against the government. He sent out supposedly a secret Shabak directive on what they're going to do, and lo and behold, the Shabak is not worried about the outpost movement, the movement to resettle neighborhoods which the government have abandoned that were initially intended for Jewish populations. According to this directive, the Shabak are just laughing at them and how hopeless and helpless they are. And what Abiner suggests is that everybody go out and talk to the secular, talk religion to them, and which is really going to save Judea and Samaria and Israel. But this is the Shabak at work, and we actually have that. Today I was given by email links to anti-Abiner sites. There's one in English, one in Hebrew, that just says he's a Shabak agent, which is, next time I write something, I'm going to send that out. But that's one. It's a pretty good example. You don't get that every day of a Chewbacca agent revealing his cards. And last but not least, as we spoke of last week, Shas, the party that can force Olmert into a minority government, forcing Arabs to be drafted into his government in order to survive, will not leave the government. And last week we discussed why, how blackmailed they are, the issue of the leader of Shas at the time, Ari Dery's adoptive mother-in-law being murdered by a cohort of his. Well, all these people are sending petitions that Shas leave the government, and I'm writing them back. I said, just quit wasting your time. This is a thoroughly, completely blackmailed party. Shimon Peres blackmailed them back in 84. They are not going to pull out of the government. Just stop wasting everybody's energy. And yet they just go on sending these silly fax numbers and email addresses to put pressure on Shas. And look, the answer, there's only one answer make an Israel again. You have got to have a revolt, an out-of-government revolt. You cannot expect the Israeli government to be a democracy. That is absolutely absurd. You have to understand who you're fighting. And again, I've been saying this for years, you can't fight the government through democratic means. It's all rigged. And this is, I just summarized the week. Do we have time to start the main story?
Sure, you go ahead. You got about it's a little over 3 minutes.
Okay, I'll just start the story and we'll move along with it. There was a very brave judge in Israel who died in July of the year 2004, 3 years ago, well, 2.5 years ago. His name was Adi Azar. Now, I played a role in this, and we'll get to that shortly. Adi Azar was the registrar of the Tel Aviv court. He oversaw two very important cases in the year 2003. One was by the Egged Bus Company, which sued the PLO, unbelievable, only $40 million for 154 deaths on their buses that were blown up that year. But Adar ruled in their behalf. They were the plaintiffs, and he gave them 164 million shekels, about $40 million. That was case number one. Case number two, there was an explosion at a fish restaurant in Tel Aviv, and one of the survivors, Yosef Azuz, sued the PLO again for damages. He was wounded in the attack, and Judge Azar awarded him $4 million. Now, this is where it gets a little interesting. The PLO didn't show up for the trials. But Azar had a weapon. Israel is funneling money to the PLO. Lots of money, tons of money, through a bank account in Tel Aviv at the Bank of Poland. And Azar threatened to put a lien on the whole bank account. And he ordered the PLO to show up in court and give a testimony as to how much liquid cash they've got on hand to pay the compensation he demanded. And now look, they showed up. The PLO showed up and they said there's $76 million in liquid cash and they own 15 companies. The point is, that was the end of Azar. The PLO does not want to disclose its assets. That's the last thing the PLO wanted to do. It's a mafia. Who says a mafia wants to disclose its assets? Now, I'm going to give a teeny bit of background. The same year, an American court awarded Yaron Unger, who was injured in a PLO attack, awarded him $116 million. Now, what Adi Azar was doing was essentially what the American courts already did, making the PLO pay for terrorism. And that is a really good strategy, and Azar found a way to make them pay. He put a lien on their bank account in Tel Aviv. And by doing so, he could have really busted the PLO and certainly stopped Israel from funneling money into the hands of the PLO. He was a hero, this guy.
Well, of course, he paid for it with his life. We're out of time. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Genesis.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through a private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are the ancient prophecies being fulfilled? Are we living in the end times? Why do the Muslim nations want to destroy Israel, and why is the United States selling sophisticated military weapons to Saudi Arabia and the other Muslim countries? Why is the incidence of UFO sightings increasing, and why is that important? Well, you'll find the answer to those and many other questions in Lynn Marzulli's exciting book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, because the book discusses the ancient prophecies and the supernatural forces directing the course of world events today. You can purchase Lynn's book at www.spiraloflife.com. That's spiraloflife.com. And if you read Lynn's book, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth. I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-paid to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
This is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and Sydney, we're talking really about the things that are happening today with Barry Shamish and what's going on in Israel. So, Barry, you pick up the story.
Well, I mean, the punchline of the story is if you oppose the PLO Israeli Coalition for Peace, they'll kill you. But let's see how they do it. Now, Judge Azar, of course, was murdered in July of the year 2004 after It was December 30th of 2003 that he ordered the PLO to disclose their assets in court. He was dead 6 months later. Now, when he was killed, it was a shock all over Israel. The very first judge was killed, and suddenly there were rumors. And I had to live with these rumors. I had Israeli reporters asking me my opinion on Azar, because I didn't believe for 1 second that the most prominent judge attacking the PLO in Israeli courts died by accident. And I proved that he didn't, eventually. But first, the love triangle. Judge Azar was having an affair with his secretary, and his wife was really jealous, and they spread this fertilizer all over the Israeli media, and I said, it's irrelevant. I don't even care if it's true. It's irrelevant. And then they came up, finally, it was in the year 2005, it was about 6 months later, they broke the case. Now get ready for this. This is the world's stupidest plot you ever heard. But it's real. And as crazy as it's going to sound, the murderer was sitting in jail on a murder charge. A small business dispute led to murder. I don't know if he did it or not. His lawyer, David Weiner, who we'll get to shortly, because he was murdered, disputes that even this murder took place, that he was being set up all alone. But it doesn't matter, because in his little cell, with no money, by the way, no money coming in, he's a con. He asked, now here's another name, you can forget it or not forget it, but his name is Rafi Nachmani. He asked Rafi Nachmani to murder Judge Azar for him. Now, understand something. Rafi Nachmani was sitting in jail for murder, and he was given a furlough. Absolutely illegal. He wasn't in jail long enough to be given a furlough. But he was given a furlough, and he escaped. This murderer escaped and wasn't found for 2 years. And in those 2 years, he was staying at the best hotels in Israel. He was having a whale of a time. Now, Judge Azar had nothing to do with Chechevili's case. Now, here is what the Israeli people were told, that Chechevili murdered Judge Azar in order to upset the judicial system and get leniency on his treatment. Now, I can just see him and the Khmani discussing the furlough and how he's going to kill Judge Azar. He says, I want you to kill a judge. And the Khmani would say, the guy who sent you to the pen, he says, no, I've never met this judge, never heard of him. And Nachmani would say, well, why do you want to kill him? And he would say, to upset the judicial system and get leniency in my sentence. And that's what the Israeli people were told. That this was the plot. They were going to kill a judge so the guy could have a few extra perks in jail, maybe a little extra TV time. For this, he killed a judge who he never heard of in his life.
And, of course, the other thing is that this other man is given a furlough. Another murderer is given a furlough so he can go out and kill the judge. I mean, it almost sounds like somebody's got to be complicit in this. They've got to be very powerful forces who want to get rid of the judge.
Well, it's a shabak, of course. But, I mean, look, there should have been a manhunt. Israel's a small country. If there was a real police manhunt, he would have been caught in a day or two. It's not like you can hide in the mountains in Israel for very long.
And where do you get the money to stay in the best hotels in Israel? Where does the money
come? Yeah, lots of money. And, again, no one knows where that came from. And suppose, the story gets worse, by the way. He supposedly went after 6 separate judges until he finally hit on a czar. It's all nonsense. It doesn't matter. It's all nonsense. This is the Rabin assassination plot. It's the way the Shabak thinks when they want to kill someone. You find a patsy. Now, in this case, Nachmani was sitting in jail for life for murder. So he gets 2 years on the road with lots of money, But he didn't shoot the Tsar, in my opinion. But wait, there's another patsy in the story. It's a conspiracy. Okay? Now, Abi Noam Hajby. All these things, by the way,
are... Barry, you better hold it because we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lake streams and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest, Barry Shamus. But before we go on, Barry, let's give our listeners your website. Let's give them how they can get in touch with the publisher of your books. That's lulu.com. And how they can get in touch with you to get your DVDs.
Well, this is all from Chapter 1 of Bye Bye Gaza. Have a look at it when you get home, and you'll see the story along with another murder I'll talk about next time you give me an opportunity. And you go to lulu.com. There's a little box that says search in the right-hand corner. Write my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's Shamish. And it'll take you to the books. And for the details of this particular case, bye-bye-bye Gaza. My website is the Barry Shamish website, but BarryChamish.com will take you there. And I'm going to leave a phone number. I have a new MP3 as well as lots of DVDs, 124 radio shows, lots with you. And just dial me and I'll send it to you with a present even for like $20. And that's 904-461-0079. That's 904. Oops, I did it wrong. I gave my home number. Let's start again. 904-501-7605. Repeat it, 904-501-7605. Now we go back to Avinom Hajzbi. Rafi Nachmani hires him as a chauffeur. And he cases Judge Azar's house three times for about 10 minutes to shop. On the fourth time, he takes 20 minutes, comes back with a gun, and he hands it to Hajzbi, and he says, I want you to bury it at the beach in Holon. And Hajzbi says, why would I do that? He says, I had to use it to hurt Judge Azar. And Hajzbi asks him, why would you want to hurt a judge? And he says, to shake up the judicial system and get better conditions for Atishieli. And Hajzbi says, you get better conditions in prison if you shoot a judge. He actually asked him, he says, this is a way to get better conditions for Yitzchak Chichivieli. You shoot a judge. And Nachmani says, yeah, you should try it. Shoot a judge and your conditions get better automatically. Well, it doesn't matter because Hajzbi is now sucked into this phony baloney conspiracy. And he's still sitting in prison for this, by the way, as a conspirator. He buries the rifle, and now we come to David Weiner, David Weiner in Hebrew. He is Chichivieli's attorney. He gets a letter and a phone call from someone who will reveal where the murder weapon of Judge Adi Azar is buried, provided that the conditions for Yitzchak Chichivieli are improved. Now, Chichivieli doesn't know about any of this. Yeah, I mean, you have to understand, everybody is being set up here, everybody. And this was Yigal Amir, and this was Chagai Amir, and this was Marguerite Harshefi. This was the Rabin assassination. And I know how these people think. They look for suckers, and they actually set them up in phony conspiracies. And to kill this judge, they set up a phony conspiracy. Now, just so you know, I put on a lecture. My sponsor was the Root Branch Society in Jerusalem, and we advertised it. The murders of Judge Azar and someone named Rafi Eitan, which is also in the first chapter of Bye Bye Gaza. Have a look at it when you get home. Get a feel for this. That murder's got pictures and so forth, and it'll help you understand it. But we put the ad for my lecture in Haaretz in the Jerusalem Post, and I got phone calls. Before I showed up for the lecture, I got Israelis calling me, people I'd never heard of. And I got to the lecture, there were five people in army uniform. There were another five Israelis who had never before attended a lecture of mine. And they're buying books. My books were in Hebrew. They bought the books. All fine and dandy. I explained exactly how the conspiracy went, how everybody was set up, how Azar was killed and patsies were found, and this stupid asinine plot by the Shabak are going to send three people to prison for murdering a judge they didn't even know. And it gets worse. There's more details. Nachmani didn't kill the judge. The neighbors saw someone on a motorcycle wait for Azar when he got home. He shot him through the car, the pane glass of the car, five times, and then took off. People saw it was Nachmani. He took off. That means there was a safe house nearby, because at 4 o'clock on a July afternoon in Tel Aviv, you can't get away. It's too crowded. All this I mentioned in the lecture, and I accurately depicted how this lecture went. This was on a Thursday night. The next day, David Weiner was shot through the head.
Now, that's the lawyer. That's the lawyer.
That's Chichivieli's lawyer. He was an American. Now, number one, let's get this straight. That lecture killed him. Without that lecture, he may be alive today. And don't think I... I didn't have guilt about that, but I didn't do it on purpose.
Well, no, basically, you believe he was killed because somebody thought that the lawyer had given you all the information
yes,
that you had.
I knew too much.
Right.
I would just use logic and the facts, but somebody thought I knew too much and must have got it through Cecchivelli's lawyer. Again, an American-Israeli named David Feiner. Now, what we were told about his so-called suicide was that he felt betrayed by the Israeli prosecution for his handling of the Cecchivelli case, which is a real good reason for killing yourself. Okay, he was about to get married. He was 2 weeks away from his wedding. These were some of the happiest days of his life, I've been told. But he decided to put a gun to his forehead and kill himself because he felt he wasn't treated well by the Israeli prosecution. Now, I tried. I mean, it's all hopeless how much I tried. About everything. I succeeded with Rabin because people cared about that. I actually succeeded quite a bit with the Baruch Goldstein so-called massacre in Hebron because there was enough public concern. By the time of 2005, 10 years after the Rabin murder, there had been so many of these Shabak murders. So many high-ranking Israelis who just wanted justice, who were shot. I phoned his mother. I emailed his mother. I left his mother messages at her work. She was a social worker in Tel Aviv, trying to tell her that it was not a suicide.
Now, this is the mother of the lawyer?
David Viner.
Right, okay.
Everything that you could do to get this thing out, the families, and it's not just the mother. None of the families want to go after the truth. None of them. Now, I often wondered about that. When first of all, I was right. But secondly, I was in a precarious position because I gave the lecture. The lecture was filled with Shabak. The hall was filled with them. They took notes. They went back. They spoke to their superiors, and they blew his head off the next day. Now, that doesn't make me guilty. I had no idea that would happen. But that's not the first time that happened. And we'll talk about that in other shows. When I got information, I used my head, and I just put the facts together, and the next day somebody was killed. I'll talk about the Shabak agent, Edry, who was also killed the day after I released the story about certain Shabak agents who talked to me. But let's not get lost right now. Let's go back to the murder of Judge Azar. How much time do we have?
Well, we've got about 6 minutes, seven. We've got about 8 minutes.
All right. Now, let's do a teeny bit of background. First of all, the business about the love triangle. That is typical Shabak marching orders. When you kill somebody, you spread salacious sexual gossip every which way through the media about them. And as soon as I heard this gossip that he was having an affair with his secretary and so on and so forth, I knew this is it. The media could not get a hold of this without help. This was a murder they're covering up. And here's how I knew that. I'm going to speak of someone very, very well known in Israel. He was one of the negotiators, unfortunately, with Sadat and the Camp David Accord. It was Eliyahu Ben Elistar. At the time that he died, he was the Israeli ambassador to France. Now, I knew that he was murdered for a few reasons. France and Israel. Remember, Shimon Peres does his dirty work through France. Shimon Peres killed Yitzhak Rabin with the help of French intelligence. And we can do this some other time. Let's just say the head of the Shabak, Carmi Gilon, flew to Paris the night before the Rabin assassination and met with French security officials on how to handle the situation post-operation. There's a lot of connections between Paris' murder and France. Eliyahu was the ambassador. Eliyahu Ben Elisar was the ambassador to France, and he must have found out an awful lot of things from his little embassy, because he was called into a special meeting with Jacques Chirac. And Ehud Barak, who was then Prime Minister of Israel, flew to France for this meeting. And you don't do that. The Prime Minister doesn't fly to France for a silly meeting between Chirac and his ambassador. He did that. Barak tried to save Ben Elisar. The day after he arrived in Israel, he fired six foreign ministry officials who he claimed the previous foreign minister, David Levy, had hired, and it displeased him. He tried to get Ben Elisar back to Israel before the French took care of him. What happened is Ben Elisar was murdered in his hotel room in the Israeli Embassy Hotel. He was found dead in the Israeli Embassy Hotel. The rumors surrounding this were enormous, but here is what was spread in the Israeli media. And this shut everybody up, and I knew it was a lie. He was with two male prostitutes in a sadomasochistic orgy. This, of course, the Israeli ambassador is using a public hotel where the Israeli embassy hosts their guests. He's going to bring two male prostitutes to that hotel to have a sadomasochistic orgy. And he died in the midst of heated passion. You ask any Israeli how Ben Elisar died, they will tell you he was in the middle of an orgy. With female or male prostitutes, it doesn't matter to this day. They will tell you that's how Ben Elisar died. Ben Elisar's ambassador to Paris found out about the Rabin assassination. It was done through Paris. He looked through the files and found out all of the horrible crimes of Shimon Peres and the French. Now, how do we know that? Very shortly after he was murdered, the Israeli embassy in France burned up. All three stories of this embassy burned up, but it gets even weird. Now, first of all, can you imagine the embassy with nobody inside the building? Like Ben Elisar or whoever was ambassador to France would take the key and lock the door and just go home and leave his embassy all by itself. There's no guards who would see a flame. There's not even a smoke detector. The embassy just went up, but it gets weirder. It went up around midnight, and it went out again, and a second fire was started to make sure that embassy went down. This is my book, Save Israel. It was called French Fire Fricassees Facts. That was the name of the article. Now, we're jumping from Azar to Ben Elisar because they did the same nonsense. The same horrible murder, well, the murder squad of Israel, which Shimon Peres has got his finger in big time, huge time. First comes the rumors, the sexual rumors, and that deflects the public because they like hearing salacious details. The more lurid, the better. This deflects the public. They did it both with Judge Azar and Ben Elisar. Azar, in the end, was murdered in the stupidest conspiracy ever hatched by the Shabak. It was dumber than the Rabin murder. In the case of Ben Elisar, it wasn't quite convincing enough, so they burnt down the embassy, and all the files that were in the Israeli embassy in Paris, France, went up in flames in the year 2001, and all the facts leading to the real murder, well, not just Ben Elisar, also Rabin, they all went up in flames. You have to understand why Israel may lose this war. Its leadership are criminals. The people are not. The people are poor, hapless. They're decent, the people. The people are not involved in their government. This nonsense that you get the government you deserve is not true. Israelis are run by what you would call labor Zionists. These are people who just have no ethics whatsoever. They murder anyone who gets in their way. And by the way, just as many Jews who wanted the truth are dead from the Israeli establishment as Arabs. If you look at the figure of the last year, in suspicious car accidents, suspicious suicides, there are just as many Jews who wanted the truth out as Arabs who are dead from the Israeli leadership. That's what's going on in Israel.
Well, I think it's amazing, you know, that these things go on and most people have no idea at all what's happening.
Well, let's just say outside Israel, no one can believe this. The propaganda about the only democracy in the Middle East, from one point of view, and then the hatred of Jews in general, taking the Arabs' point of view, which is wrong, of course, have just made the ball game so wrong. People don't understand that the Arabs, the Palestinians, were brought into Palestine by the Turks to fight the labor Zionists. It's a big ugly chessboard being played, but people don't realize the big one, and the Israeli establishment.
And we're financing both sides. We're financing the Palestinian terrorists, and we're financing Israel and Egypt and Jordan. And hey, we're out of time. God bless. Bye-bye.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and they were simply talking about really making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead, and believe me, they're coming. I don't know how soon, but I believe with all my heart we're going to see see crises here in America. We're going to see chemical and biological and nuclear attacks on this country, because I believe God is going to withdraw his blessing from this nation, as he rightly should. And those who are not prepared are going to be in terrible, terrible straits. So let me suggest, if you have one of our emergency food catalogs and haven't ordered your long-term storage food, that you do it right away. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you don't have a catalog, give us a call. We'll be glad to send you a free catalog, an emergency food catalog, and, of course, a health catalog. But do not put it off. We have a great DVD. It's called Sheltering in Place. And, of course, Sheltering in Place will tell you what you really need to do to prepare your home in case there was an attack of some sort. It's better to know ahead of time than to suddenly frantically be wondering, what should I do? We have a unique four-tape set on civil defense, talking with various people that I've interviewed, on just the things that you need to do to protect yourself and your family. That's a four-CD or four-tape set civil defense. And then, of course, we have a book that was put out many years ago by the military, and, of course, now it's privately published because, of course, they're not making any preparations for the public. But it's called Nuclear War Survival Skills. That's Nuclear War Survival Skills. We carry the potassium iodate that you need to guard your thyroid if there is a problem. And then, of course, why we have a great book. We got it in for Y2K, but my wife read it through and learned so much from it. It's called Making the Best of Basics. And it just tells you what you need to do and what you need to have on hand. And what do you do when you've got wheat? What do you do, you know, to make food palatable if there is an emergency and you have to find other means of cooking or preparing food for your family? So remember now, you get an emergency food catalog. You can certainly get the emergency food, but if you have the catalog, go through and don't put off making at least some preparations. If you don't get it through us, get it through somebody, but get your supply of food. And you need water filters or barrels to actually to store the water in, or pumps to get the water out, or all the things you need in emergency. There are available through Radio Liberty. And then we have the DVD, Sheltering in Place. We have the four tape or four CD set, Civil Defense. We have, of course, the potassium iodate. We have the Nuclear War Survival Skills book, a very, very informative book. And lastly, Making the Best of Basics. What do you do as far as food is concerned if there's an emergency? They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you'd like, of course, to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get that book. If you'd like to get the DVD of the Brotherhood of Darkness, it is available. Or the DVD, the tape, and the audio tape, we call that the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And then, of course, we hope that you want to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret. What is the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years by the mystery religions and by the sages of the secret societies and the adepts of the secret societies? Well, of course, it's you're going to have to get the tape to listen to it. You're going to have to get the DVD. You really need to understand that this is not imaginary. It's really very real. There is a spiritual dimension, and there are people who are in contact with the beings from the other dimension. And we see manifestations of this all the time, but the average individual has no idea what's happening. So then, of course, we ask you to give us a call, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. America is under attack today. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. We'll be right back.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in the U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guest, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Garth Nicholson, who, of course, is one of the country's most eminent scientists. He's written over 600 peer-reviewed articles. For many years, he was a professor at the MD Anderson Clinic in Texas. And, of course, at the present time, he's working here in California, and he was really forced to leave Texas in his tenured position. They couldn't fire him, but after his superior was killed on the very day that the superior, a retired Army colonel, had told Dr. Nicholson that he was going to reveal what he knew about the secret government experiments that were being carried out, he was killed with 6 bullets at the back of his head. And it was shortly after that that Dr. Nicholson decided that he and his wife had best moved to California. If you have not read Garth's book, Project Daylily, it reads like a Tom Clancy novel, but it's really true. And it's what happens to somebody who finds out about the terrible things and the terrible experiments taking place in America today on helpless people and tries to expose it and well, of course, they come under tremendous pressure themselves. Garth, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on your program again, Stan.
And, of course, the reason that I asked Dr. Nicholson to come on is because recently his webpage was hacked. And why don't you tell them about the hacking of your webpage and what the people wanted to get off of your webpage?
Well, it was very interesting because the Institute for Molecular Medicine has had a very successful website. Got a lot of information about chronic illnesses, and a lot of people visit it to get information on testing and treatment and etiology of a variety of chronic diseases that we're facing these days. And lo and behold, about a week or so ago, somebody had hacked into our site, and they had redacted all the information about veterans' illnesses, about chronic illnesses, the types of infections that we found, and how to deal with it. Even congressional testimony was removed. So it took us a while to figure out all the things that were done to the site, and then we replaced it all a few days later. But that just shows you that we're not necessarily living in a free society, Stan.
And, of course, you actually had sent out emails to a number of your contacts, and Dr. Merrill Nass had the same thing happen, certainly that involved the anthrax vaccine. They certainly don't want the military forces to know that they're giving him an unsafe vaccine, and that they're experimenting, really, on our American troops. Have you had any other replies from anybody else?
No, I haven't. And I really didn't send out an extensive set of emails to find out if anybody else had the same problem. But just the fact that I found that one of my close colleagues also had the same problem suggested that we weren't alone. There were other sites that they went after, and these are mainly sites that have information for military personnel who might become sick with an undiagnosed illness and where to get information, what to do about it, and so on.
Well, I think that there's a tremendous fear that the military will find out, and the leaders of the military and young people who maybe think of volunteering for service, that they will be used and will find out and discover that they have routinely used our military for experiments, used them as guinea pigs over a period of many years, and of course I believe they're still doing that today. They cannot let the military, they cannot let the American people understand that, and that's one reason why I wanted to have Dr. Nicholson on, simply to talk about the fact that his website was hacked into, and if it's hacked into again, we'll get him back on again. People have to understand that this is what they do. There are people within our government who have a different view of things. Who they are, we have no idea, but they are trying to conceal so much of the information about what's going on, and we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Garth Nicholson. And Garth, now you're talking now right to people who've just come on, the stations just come on board, and the people that we had on a few minutes ago are not with us. They'll be back in a few moments. But why don't you go ahead and repeat your story about how somebody hacked into your website to remove information about the illnesses that are afflicting our veterans, etc.?
Well, the Institute for Molecular Medicine has a website, which is www.immed.org, which is a depository of a lot of information about veterans' illnesses and also about civilian illnesses that are literally undiagnosable, chronic illnesses that are plaguing our society today. And somebody hacked in and removed, redacted a lot of information, particularly about veterans' illnesses, and even congressional testimony and other things were removed from our site. So it's now been replaced. The site is back up, and we didn't find out who did it. We never did. But I did find a colleague of mine, Dr. Merrill Nass, said the same thing happened to her website. And her website is on the anthrax vaccine. And so that's something, obviously, of the military importance. So we weren't the only ones that were hacked, as it turns out.
And, of course, I think it's vitally important that people understand that they do use our military as human guinea pigs, and anybody who doubts that, we have a report called, we call it the Rockefeller Report, but it actually came out of a Senate committee of the Veterans Administration back in 1994, talking about how hundreds of thousands of our servicemen have been used as human guinea pigs without their knowledge and consent, and of course there's so much to point to the fact that the Gulf War illness was simply, well, as it related to the vaccines. Would you like to get a little bit into the background of why you believe that the vaccines they gave our servicemen during the first Gulf War were instrumental in the terrible disease that's afflicted so many of them who are totally incapacitated today, at least those who are still living?
I'll be glad to talk about it because it's actually the subject of our book that you mentioned, Project Daylily, and they can find that book actually on Dr. Stan's bookshelf. Your organization sells the book, so I'd like your listeners to go ahead and get the book. But the book actually details our own personal story on how we uncovered a massive testing program in the state of Texas in the prison system, and how uncovering that led to not only threats on our lives, but six of my colleagues were killed under very unusual circumstances, and we had to leave Texas because of it. And the types of illnesses really are chronic illnesses, and they're basically illnesses caused by incapacitating biological warfare agents.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I think it's important that people understand that we have all sorts of terrible new diseases, new diseases that did not exist before, or if they did exist, they were very, very rare. But we have chronic fatigue syndrome. We have fibromyalgia. We have, of course, a Lyme disease. We have AIDS. Where do these diseases come from? Well, Ebola is, of course, another example of an entirely new disease. I mean, and these, of course, certainly the chronic fatigue syndrome has incapacitated millions of people as fibromyalgia and Lyme disease, and yet they're all interrelated with these chronic infections that Dr. Garth Nicholson has discovered, and many of the organisms involved have been genetically modified, and believe me, they weren't done in some home laboratory. Go right ahead, Dr. Nicholson.
Well, as you mentioned, there are a variety of chronic illnesses that all of a sudden have erupted in incidence, and these were hardly ever heard of. And I know, Stan, when you taught medical school, when I taught for 25 years, these illnesses weren't even around. And so these are new emerging chronic illnesses. And as you mentioned, and there's also a variety of autoimmune illnesses that were present, but they weren't present in nearly the frequency that we find them now. Things like amyotrophic lateral sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease, multiple sclerosis, lupus. These things are just skyrocketing in incidence. And we feel that many of these diseases are related to chronic infections, either caused by the infections or the infections exacerbated the condition. And in fact, I just wrote a review on this for a major medical journal called Laboratory Medicine, the top-rated lab pathology journal in the world, and this will be coming out later this year. And this article deals with the role of chronic infections in these types of diseases. And this goes back to our work with the Gulf War and the illnesses from the Gulf War, because we found that about 40% of the Gulf War veterans who became sick after the first Gulf War, and that is about 250,000 of the veterans, and about 40% of those had an unusual infection called Mycoplasma fermentans. And this infection, which is a chronic bacterial infection, relatively new infection, first published on by the U.S. Army, and they were involved in testing for this infection. And we found this in many of the Gulf War veterans. Now, how did they get this infection? Well, they could have got it from biological warfare, or they could have got it just through natural exposures, or they could have picked it up in the vaccines. And the reason we actually talk about the vaccines is that the epidemiologists who studied the Gulf War illnesses, they can relate the vaccinations to the illnesses that the forces came down with after the Gulf War. So there is a relationship there, but we don't know it's an association. And that association, we feel, is because those vaccines may have been contaminated, and they were given in such an unusual regimen. They were given 20 or 30 vaccinations over a three-day period, which is very immune-suppressing. So if there were contaminants in any of the vaccines, well, those contaminants could have been important infections because of the immune suppression. And they were also exposed to other agents as well in the Gulf. The soldiers that were out there and the Marines that were out there were exposed to chemicals. They were exposed to flying sand. They were exposed to oil well fires and so on and so forth. But there were a lot of them that weren't even near the areas of combat, that were just in the general area, on ships, for example, in the Persian Gulf and so on. And many of these sailors that were out there came down with Gulf War illness as well, and they were nowhere near the combat zones. So that's how we know, and when the epidemiologists studied this process, that they could relate those casualties back to the vaccine.
And, of course, the other interesting thing was that the French had a contingent over there in the Gulf, but they refused to give their military the vaccines. They were going to give them antibiotics if there was a danger of anthrax or something else, and they didn't come down with the Gulf War illness, did they?
They had a different philosophy. The French used prophylactic antibiotics to fight against biological warfare agents instead of vaccines, which is what we used, and the British, Canadians, and Australian, and some of the other forces that were deployed over there. And unfortunately, the French were relatively free of any sickness from the Gulf War, but all these other nations that I mentioned had significant casualties. About 16 to 18% of the deployed forces became sick after the war.
Well, of course, if there are 250,000 out of 695,000, that's a very, very significant number.
It is a very high number. And although we're seeing casualties from the second Gulf War and from the Afghanistan deployments, not nearly in that high an incidence, and I suspect that that's because they've learned a lot about the regimens of giving the vaccines, that they need to be given over a six-month to one-year period, not all at once. And so in the current deployments, there has been sickness, and they're trying to call it the same thing, post-traumatic stress disorder, but I'm not sure that that's the case, although we haven't extensively tested the veterans from the current conflicts to see if they have a similar type of agent in their blood.
Well, now, of course, you actually had the opportunity to treat many of the veterans of the first Gulf War, and those with these chronic fatigue or Gulf War-like victims, and did many of them actually respond quite well to an antibiotic regime or a generalized regime aimed at increasing their immune response?
They did, and in fact, we had very good success with special forces and airborne units that we studied that were undergoing treatment. It wasn't just the antibiotics. They were also getting immune enhancement, and they were getting some other things as well. It's interesting, though, that the Department of Defense did a study after we published our results to refute this, and they spent several million dollars on it, and they didn't find that. But they, a lot of unusual things happened in their study. For example, somehow they got the study published, and they had only 65% compliance in the people that entered into the study. Well, you know, Stan, if you only have 65% compliance, how can you come to any conclusions about a study?
You really can't, of course. But I suppose when you're working for the government, why, of course, you can get your studies published much more easily than lots of other people.
Absolutely. I mean, that study was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, and I'm just astounded that they could ever get something like that published. And there were some other unusual things that I won't go into, which are technical details about the study, which I found to be really eye-opening. But the important point is that we've had our successes, and a lot of people have come to us, particularly through our website, and that information on our website has enabled literally thousands and thousands of people to recover from chronic illnesses that, and they were told they would never recover.
Well, of course, was that a lot of the material that was hacked on your website? Was the information on what people could do to get over these chronic infections?
It was some of the information, and we have documents on our website, publications that people can download, which will tell them what to do in the case they come down with a chronic illness, how can it be identified, whether there might be infections or not involved in the process, and if there are, what to do about that, how to get tested, and then treatment advice on what to do in terms of treatment, what to do in terms of diet, information on how to boost their immune systems, on the types of antibiotics and antivirals, if there are any viruses involved that they and their physicians should consider using. A lot of information that I think is very helpful to people that are chronically ill.
Well, Chris, my understanding is that many of the people with these chronic infections, the average doctor isn't going to be able to pick them up because they may not have, you know, the regular laboratory response would anticipate either the white count or the SED rate or the other things. And so many of our tests really are incapable of picking up these genetically modified organisms that are hiding in the cells.
That's exactly correct. These infections hide deep inside the tissues, and they're just not available to get out to test for because they hide deep in our tissues. They don't elicit a strong antibody response. So just using serology or antibody testing is just inadequate to find them. We've used molecular tests like polymerase chain reaction or PCR to find them. And then you have to get the tissues to shed the microorganism into the blood in order to get a blood sample and test the blood. So it's not so easy.
All right, and I think it's so vitally important that people really understand that we have millions, literally millions of people in the United States with these chronic illnesses today, and we know from reading Zygmunt Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, and of course Zygmunt Brzezinski is one of the most powerful men in the world today, but back in 1970 he wrote a book, Between Two Ages, telling how in the future they were going to be able to create storms and droughts, modify the weather, and create chronic illnesses. And he thought that was really wonderful. And, of course, that was 1970, and now we have, of course, all of these new horrible diseases today that are incapacitating millions of people in America. Are people throughout the rest of the world afflicted with these new chronic diseases?
Well, we just don't know the details on that because people haven't looked at it carefully. We've had some contacts in the Middle East because I was a visiting professor at a couple of different academic institutions after the first Gulf War. One was the University of Kuwait, or Kuwait University, and I was posted out there for a while, and I managed to get around to some of the regional clinics to find out if there was any increase in illness after the Gulf War, and this was a few years after, and they indicated, most of the clinics indicated there was about a 30% increase in the types of chronic illnesses that we've been talking about this morning. So obviously in other places around the world, it's a major problem. And we've heard from Bahrain in Oman, that they also have major increases in chronic illness.
And so basically, of course, so many of these countries over there, tragically, you know, are the people are being incapacitated, and there's not an awful lot of treatment for them unless, of course, they can follow along with the protocols. But then, of course, we're talking about long-term antibiotic care. We're talking about adequate nutrition. We're talking about the wonderful things that we have here in America to build up our immune responses, and I suspect a lot of them are not available for people in other parts of the world. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson talking about this plague of chronic illnesses striking people all throughout the world. And the question is, where do these organisms come from? And they weren't there years ago. Well, Garth, let's get into, you of course have talked in the past about some very, very specific organisms that are involved in this process. Would you like to cover those again?
Well, let's go back and start with the Gulf War, because that's how we got involved in it, because our stepdaughter came back and was one of the casualties that came down with illness after the war, and we had to figure out what was wrong with her, and in the process we got involved in dealing with literally hundreds of thousands of veterans with these illnesses. And in that particular case, it was an unusual bacteria. Actually, we were more than in one. There was, in addition to Mycoplasma fermentans, there were also some cases of Brucella, which causes brucellosis. There were some patients that had Yersinia pestis, which is plague. These are cases that shouldn't happen in our time and day. They're very unusual. In the civilian populations, occasionally you see Yersinia pestis come up. People are usually alarmed when that happens, but it's out there now. Also, brucellosis in rural areas in particular, because this is a disease of mainly of livestock, people can come down with this. And we had a study that we did in West Texas where there was communities that had a lot of cattle and other livestock in the areas. A lot of people were coming down with chronic fatigue syndrome, and a lot of those people had Brucella infections as well. It's a very similar kind of bacteria that gets inside the cells and causes havoc with the metabolism of the cells, and particularly attacks the energy systems of the cells. The mitochondria makes them leaky, and then they can't perform oxidative phosphorylation, and you can't generate energy from your cells. This can also occur because of other bacteria as well. And we hear a lot about Lyme disease. And Lyme disease is really a combination of different infections, the mycoplasma being one of them, and the Lyme spirochete, Borrelia burgdorferi. This is the main causative agent for Lyme disease, but it's certainly not the only one. And the ticks that carry Lyme disease have all these different infections, like the Borrelia and the mycoplasma and other bacterial infections as well, and parasitic infections. And they're little bags of infection. As it turns out, when they bite you, you get infected with all these different chronic infections, and it takes quite a while before they really take hold. But when that happens, you end up with a chronic fatigue-like illness, Lyme. So that's can lead to an arthritis condition. It could lead to neurologic problems, and we see this. Patients as well that have chronic fatigue syndrome, a lot of those end up with arthritis, or they end up with neurological signs and symptoms. So these infections can go to different areas of the body and attack different organs and different systems. They can attack, for example, the joints. They can attack the heart. They can attack the bowel and give inflammatory bowel diseases. They can attack the brain and the central nervous system and cause all kinds of disorders that we see, in brain disorders and so on. And going back to the Gulf War veterans, when they came back and they had this illness, Mycoplasma fermentans, they eventually passed it to their spouses, and many of those became sick. And there's one United States study that indicates that 65% of the spouses were coming down with illness, and many of their children were as well, and the children were becoming autistic. And so we actually found that in autistic children, the majority of them have these infections as well. So this is something that is penetrating into all areas of our society, not just veterans. It's passing to civilians, and they're picking it up other ways.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Nicholson was simply talking about these diseases, and of course it's not simply the Mycoplasma fermentans, which appears to be a genetically modified organism, but a Brucella, the old undulant fever, and then of course Borrelia, which is the organism we see associated with Lyme disease, that was first seen in Lyme, Connecticut, right across the inlet from a government biowarfare, or at least agricultural laboratory where they were studying some of these strange diseases. Under any circumstances, one of the most interesting things that Dr. Nicholson has been talking about is how, of course, this not only does the individual get infected, but the family gets infected, and the wife will get infected, and the children will get infected, and many times this is manifested as autism, or at least in this autism sort of a syndrome, and certainly these children, of course, which we know what a tragedy it is today, one in 150 children are autistic. Do you think that the heavy metals play play a part in this, or does that certainly influence the immune system so the child will not have a normal response to these organisms? How does this all fit together? Have you figured it out?
These diseases, such as the autism spectrum disorders, are all multifocal diseases. They're caused by a number of different toxic insults. Chemicals, for example, in the environment, heavy metals that they pick up from either vaccines or the environment, chronic infections, and so on. We don't know where they start from, but we do know that multiple hits seem to be involved. And that may be also the situation for the other chronic illnesses that we've been discussing as well, that there's no single cause for these illnesses. And that's what makes them so difficult to decide what the problem is, because they're caused by a number of different toxic exposures.
Well, has anybody actually tried treating these children with long-term antibiotics as well as perhaps chelation and other things?
Yes, particularly in some of the military families that we work with, and they've been very successful at treating their children that came down with autistic spectrum disorders. And also chelating, removing the heavy metals from them, and doing some other things as well with their diet, which is very important. All of these do increase the chance that the child will completely recover and go on to lead a normal life. So we're very pleased at the outcome. But we haven't really done a careful clinical trial yet because we've never had the money to do that. So one of the things that I'm hoping to do in the future is to conduct some clinical trials using these multiple approaches of therapy together.
Well, I know at one time you had an opportunity to at least run a short trial with some of the people with this terrible disease, Lou Gehrig's disease or anterior lateral sclerosis, and of course there was a significant increase in the incidence of that disease in our Gulf War veterans. So basically, didn't you find that almost all of those ALS people did have this mycoplasma infection?
Yes, we actually published that in a neurological journal, that 100% of the veterans that we tested from the United States, Canada, Australia, and Great Britain that came down with ALS had this infection, Mycoplasma fermentans. There was one exception where one Australian veteran actually had the Mycoplasma genitalium, which is kind of an unusual infection that we didn't expect, but about 10% of the Gulf War veterans, turns out, that have a mycoplasmal infection have this type of infection instead of the Mycoplasma fermentans. We now know the explanation for that, but without going into it in great detail, this was probably also one of the agents that was tested during the Gulf War.
All right, fine. Of course, really, what a terrible thing this is. We see these chronic diseases spreading throughout our society. Something like multiple sclerosis certainly creating a tremendous a disability. What about things like Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease or senile dementia? Well, certainly, will these chronic infections in any way influence those afflictions?
Absolutely. In fact, this is the subject of the review that I just wrote, and it reminds me I have to send you a copy of this.
I'd love to see it.
There's also a briefer review, which is less technical, that's coming out in the Townsend Letter in the April issue. And this is something that patients can actually pick up. The Townsend Letters, you can go to a newsstand and pick it up because it has a lot of information on various natural ways, homeopathic ways to approach illness and so on. So this article is actually in the April edition of the Townsend Letter. And to get back to your question before, is we ran a brief clinical trial, and maybe we could discuss that when we come back.
All right, fine. Of course, if the government was running the right trials, but the government cannot admit, at least the high officials cannot admit, that they, incapacitated so many of the men who came back from the Gulf War. We lost maybe 100, maybe 150 men, something like that, in the 100-hour war that we fought, the first Gulf War. And yet 250,000 of those young men, when they came home, were ill, and of course a significant number of them are dead. Why would they be dying at such a young age? Well, of course, these are things that they don't want you to ask. But of course, Dr. Nicholson's done a great deal of work on that, and well, that's why, of course, he's had to leave his position and come here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Dr. Garth Nicholson, and you were beginning to tell us, you want to pick up the thought there?
Well, I did want to mention, because you asked the question, that we ran a brief clinical trial on amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS, to see if we could identify patients first that had the mycoplasmal infection. And, of course, almost all of them had it, so that was easy to do. And the second thing was, could we treat that, plus another viral infection that we and others have found associated with ALS. So we tried to do a combination trial where we treated both the bacterial and virus. And unfortunately, we ran out of money, so we had to stop the trial at about 8 weeks, and that wasn't nearly enough. A trial like this should go on 6 months to a year, actually, according to our other results. And just a short period of time, we saw a 40% increase in muscle strength. That's an objective measurement. And also, we also saw non-objective measurements where some of the patients who couldn't walk began to walk again, who couldn't speak began to speak again, and so on. So there were some pretty dramatic changes. But unfortunately, after we stopped the antibiotic and the antiviral, within a few months, the patients started to progress again. And so eventually, they went back to where they were. And unfortunately, we couldn't do much about it at that point.
Well, I think it's really such a shame when there's so much money being put into scientific research that things that hold promise for these people with these chronic illnesses seem to get the short end of the stick as far as funding, and billions of dollars put out on AIDS research, and most of it is looking at for the wrong organism, because, well, we'll talk a little bit more about what really, of course, is producing the problem with AIDS as we develop some of the other ideas here. Anyway, of course, Dr. Nicholson's on the front lines of the research there, and of course, had it not been for the fact that a number of his friends died under very mysterious circumstances in Texas, he'd still be down there. Do you miss the academic atmosphere there at the university?
Well, I miss the academic atmosphere, to be sure. We've tried to create our own little mini atmosphere out here in California at the Institute for Molecular Medicine, but it's not the same as being at a big university with the diversity of things going on. But we have been able to focus like a laser beam on certain issues and certain items, and of course, as we've been discussing today, we've decided to focus on chronic infections and their role in a variety of chronic diseases that we find are just emerging illnesses in our population today. So I guess everything happens for a reason, and this is the reason.
Well, we have to believe that, and of course, Dr. Nicholson's done some wonderful work on the relationship between these chronic infections and heart disease. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Dr. Garth Nicholson. And before we go on, would you like to get your website out there? People would know how to get in touch with your organization.
The website for the Institute for Molecular Medicine is www.immed.org, like immediate.org. And there you'll find information about a variety of different chronic illnesses. And we were just about ready to start discussing cardiovascular diseases, and of course these infections play a major role. Diseases like coronary heart disease are often either exacerbated or even caused by chronic infections like chlamydia, pneumonia, and mycoplasma, two of the most common types of infections that are involved in heart disease. And you can get in an argument as to whether these infections actually cause the disease, but they certainly exacerbate the disease. So whenever these infections are present, the disease progresses at an alarming rate. And we've seen, for example, in the Gulf War veterans that came back, many of these veterans, almost all of them aged less than 25, many of them even under 20, that all of a sudden had major heart problems when they came back. And it's just unheard of for somebody who's less than 25 years old to have a major heart attack, for example. And working with the cardiologists that had to deal with this, we did get to convince a few to test their patients, and they came up positive, and to put them on intravenous antibiotics. And we were able to turn around some cases that were just on the verge of death. I can think of one in particular, a Michigan veteran who was who lived north of Detroit, and his family was just absolutely totally upset about the fact that their son was in the hospital, an intensive care unit, and it had lost about 90% of his heart function, measured by the ejection fraction of the heart, and he was going to die. He was told to get his everything in order, and we talked the cardiologist into testing him, and he was positive, as we expected, and putting him on intravenous antibiotics, and he made a miraculous recovery, and within a year or so later, his heart ejection fraction was up to about 60-65%, and the cardiologists were just amazed. They just couldn't believe it. And finally, he kept making further progress, and eventually he went home and went back to work and is now a stable member of society when he was just on the verge of death.
And, of course, I have heard that many, many of the people with the coronary artery disease, or a significant number of them, will have a positive C-reactive protein, which suggests a chronic inflammation. Is that in any way related to what you're talking about?
We think it is. Of course, the chronic inflammation can be caused by a number of different reasons. But chronic infections, I think, is an important part of it. And often patients, particularly with very progressive heart disease, have these infections like chlamydia, pneumonia, and mycoplasma. And these infections exacerbate the autoimmune responses, and they also attack the heart tissues, the lining of the tissue in particular. They cause endocarditis and myocarditis of the heart. And, of course, this eventually can result in heart failure.
Well, if you have a few minutes, and we still have a fair amount of time, I'd like to get into AIDS, because this was something that really intrigued me for a long period of time. And of course, there's a lot of people out there say it isn't an epidemic, nobody's dying of the disease. And, of course, that obviously isn't true. Well, one of the things they do say is true is the fact that the HIV virus is not terribly pathogenic. In other words, it'll alter the immune system and the immune response, but it doesn't create the devastation that we see with AIDS cases. So what part does mycoplasma play, and how often is it found as a co-infection along with HIV disease, which most doctors have no idea about?
Well, it's found often, more than 80%, and probably more like 100%, but 80%, according to the Army at least. Patients that have HIV and AIDS have mycoplasma as an important co-infection. They probably have other co-infections as well, but that being one of the more prominent co-infections. And as you mentioned, the HIV virus itself doesn't cause signs or symptoms. It merely suppresses the immune system. And of course, when the immune system is suppressed, then the co-infections like the mycoplasma can just go crazy and really cause problems.
Well, of course, the thing is that you found is this the mycoplasma fermentans as well, or is that a different mycoplasma?
In the case of AIDS, the most common mycoplasma found is the mycoplasma fermentans, but there are other species as well that are found. And as we studied a variety of different chronic illnesses, often we find patients have multiple species of mycoplasma. In fact, it's very common in chronic fatigue syndrome patients to have more than one type of mycoplasma.
All right, and of course, can the mycoplasma actually produce devastation as far as the body is concerned and actually damage the body?
Oh, absolutely, particularly pathogenic mycoplasmas. And there are more than 100 known species of mycoplasma, but there are only half a dozen that are known to be pathogenic in man. And we're really talking about the half a dozen that you find in man that really are pathogenic. They really cause problems when they get inside cells. For example, they interfere with the mitochondria, the little battery inside our cells that provides the energy for our cells. They interfere with the metabolism of the cell. They interfere with the membranes of the cell. They even get in the nucleus of the cell and cause changes in the DNA so they can be mutagenic. And we know this from cancer patients that we've studied. For example, we've studied breast cancer patients, and we could actually identify the breast cancer patients that were going to progress and die early of the disease. They were the ones actually that had these infections.
What is this mycoplasma fermentans that you discussed? Does this look or appear to be genetically modified?
Well, the one that we found in the veterans that came back from the Gulf War, was we found some genetic modifications in it. But I think these other forms that are present out in the environment, they may or may not be modified. Most of them probably are just natural infections because they're there, they're being passed around, and they're not being suppressed. They just are continuing to penetrate into the population, continuing to cause problems.
But I thought the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology actually had a patent on the mycoplasma fermentans.
They do. They're the only ones that hold a patent on the mycoplasma fermentans. An Army pathologist there, Shai-Ching Lo, actually holds the patent. And he's the mycoplasma expert that has studied all the AIDS patients and has mycoplasma. Interestingly enough, he stays away from studying the Gulf War veterans and actually has claimed that the Gulf War veterans don't have this infection. But, of course, they used only antibody testing, and you can't find these by antibody testing. So that's kind of a red herring.
And there's really so much confusion out there. And instead of using science to benefit people, sometimes they use it to confuse the issue. But I think the important thing is that most AIDS cases are a multiple infections, and certainly there's very often a co-infection along with the HIV, and the co-infection would actually respond to a chronic antibiotic use, wouldn't it?
It should, if it's done properly. Unfortunately, most patients that have these chronic infections are treated inappropriately. They're treated with short-term regimens of antibiotics, which is completely inadequate to treat these types of infections, and they're incompletely treated, and therefore they're really not treated at all, really, in a way, because the mycoplasma comes roaring back, and then they become even more difficult to treat the next time.
Well, do you think that a proper diet, and here I'm talking about primarily fruits and vegetables, can have a beneficial effect on these chronic illnesses?
Absolutely. In fact, we have an article on diet that's on our website so that people should download if they're undergoing treatment. It tells you what kinds of foods to stay away from, and what, particularly things like processed sugar and so on, which really stimulate these chronic infections, and what types of lipids that they need to be taking, because the lipids are damaged by these types of infections. And we, in fact, really stress lipid replacement therapy to replace the damaged lipids. And this is very important, and we've actually talked about this on your program before, things like NT factor, which we've done clinical trials on. This actually helps repair the damage to mitochondrial membranes and allows the mitochondria to recover their energy production. And so we've seen people that have chronic fatigue syndrome, for example, that are very fatigued. After 30 to 60 days on this natural product, they recover about 40% of their energy back, and they lose their fatigue. And this has just been an amazing result that we're trying to duplicate in a number of different areas, and most recently with autistic spectrum disorder patients.
And are you getting a fairly good result with these children who otherwise would be condemned to a life of disability?
Well, these are children which we're trying to treat with also with chelation, as well as with antibiotics and with the lipid replacement therapy. Again, just like any of the chronic illness patients that have various diseases, they have multiple problems, and you have to address all these different problems. You can't just take one aspect of it and focus on that.
But it's really very difficult for a doctor to be treating these things today, in fact, you know, because he's using techniques that are not necessarily widely accepted by the medical profession, and certainly don't some of the doctors who treat problems like this, autism or Lyme's disease, or these chronic infections, don't they get into trouble with their license simply because they're trying to help people?
Well, that's certainly true of the Lyme docs, and we think that there's probably a reason why the medical boards go after the Lyme doctors, principally because they're they're trying to suppress the knowledge about this type of illness, and unfortunately all they're doing is allowing it to penetrate further, and we've seen it go from just New England, and all of a sudden it started to spread all the way across the country, and now, of course, here in California, it's become a major problem in Northern California. So we've done the worst possible thing we could. We've ignored it.
And, of course, it's in the ticks all over our state, at least in the northern part of the state here. And, of course, you go out walking in the woods, why, it's a potential of getting bit by a tick, and then the next thing you know, you got the target sort of lesion, and then of course, you can come down with these terrible things. If you do get bitten by a tick, should you start on antibiotics right away? What do you think?
Well, a lot of physicians claim that this is the best approach because the short-term treatments actually benefit to someone who's just been recently infected. The problem is that you don't know when you're infected because only about 30% of people actually have the bullseye rash from the tick bite. Often the tick will bite and you don't even know it. And then, you know, these illnesses take months and months and months before they ever show up. And in some cases, we found that people infected with things like the mycoplasma, it can show up almost 6 months to a year later in terms of showing signs and symptoms. So these are very slowly smoldering, slow-growing types of diseases or conditions, and the microorganisms that cause them are very slow-growing. And so we require a slightly different approach to treat these types of organisms. If they were rapidly growing, hitting them with a quick course of antibiotic would just knock them down completely. But they're not, so they're less susceptible to antibiotics, so you have to keep the antibiotics there longer. And you also have to do a number of other things to correct the imbalances that the infections cause inside the tissues and inside the organs. And so that's why everything from diet and lipid replacement and probiotics and a number of other things, removal of heavy metals and so on, are all very important.
And that's really why I believe that Dr. Nicholson's website is so important and why it was so tragic that somebody took it upon themselves to hack into a website, and you have to know a certain amount about, computers before you can do that. I certainly wouldn't even have any idea how to hack in, but they did, and it wasn't simply Dr. Nicholson's computer. It was Dr. Merrill Nass, who we've also interviewed, who was trying to help the people as far with the anthrax vaccine, the illnesses that came from the anthrax vaccine that was given to our military before, and haven't they gone back to giving that anthrax vaccine again? Has it ever really been a safe vaccine to get?
No, it's not safe. And they have started giving it again, and we're very much against that the vaccine, but it's become a political issue now, and political in that former members of the Department of Defense were the ones that actually started this, and they made a lot of money off of it. And so these are things that conflict of interest that we have major problems with. But once these programs get started, they're very, very difficult to stop. Even if they cause tremendous damage, it's hard to stop them.
And I think it's really so telling that it was the French who refused to give the vaccines to their troops, and their troops didn't have any problems. It was the British and American and Canadian and Australian troops that did take the vaccines that, of course, got this full scourge of diseases, you know, after the first Gulf War. What do we know about the young men who are coming back from the Gulf today? My understanding is that about one in three is ill within 3 months. Is that accurate or not?
Well, I think that they have a variety of different illnesses, just like the first Gulf War, and a variety of different severities of their illness. But there is a subset of those patients that have very much the same type of Gulf War illness that we found after the first Gulf War. They don't have it in the same incidence, but it's still there.
All right, and of course, a lot of the victims will get the autoimmune disease, which, of course, can be manifested, as Dr. Nicholson said, with arthritis, or certainly can be manifested the progressive neurological disease. But can that be manifested then as heart disease? Can it be manifested as pulmonary or kidney disease?
Absolutely. And for example, chronic asthma, which we've seen is tremendous increase in chronic asthma, CPOD in our population. We found that literally 40% of these patients have these chronic infections as well, and they inflame the bronchi and cause these problems. So we know that when these infections get in place, they can elicit an autoimmune response, and they do that very cleverly. I won't go into the details on it, but they do it in several different ways. And once they elicit an autoimmune response, then it's very hard to turn that off, and it just continues as long as the organism is there and it can keep stimulating it. The autoimmune response will continue. But we've seen patients that were diagnosed, for example, with chronic lupus, and they've had these infections. And as long as the infections are untreated, they have the lupus. But if you treat the infections properly, all of a sudden the lupus goes away.
And, of course, there really has been almost an explosion of asthma, hasn't there, within our service people and even within our children?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, it's something that they have no explanation for. But again, asthma is one of these things that's caused by a number of different factors, this being one of them, but not the only factor that seems to be important. But we wouldn't really expect all these different diseases to be exploding in incidence so quickly unless there's something like an infection or some other toxic exposure that's involved. And we think that there are toxic exposures, for example, the chemicals in the environment and so on. But we also think that there are these infections around, and they haven't been looked at as much as the chemicals for causing these types of illnesses. But they're there, and we feel that they're very important.
And, of course, it really was because there were people looking into these chronic infections. Some of them were your students there in Texas, a number of them died under very mysterious circumstances. These were physicians and pathologists.
Yes, in particular, one of the pathologists that I trained who really raised a red flag about the number of deaths in the prison system and the fact that the dead prisoners were going to an army base for autopsy, and they were supposed to be coming to his unit for autopsy.
And, of course, when you start questioning what's going on, and of course, these human experiments, which are being carried out illegally, why, of course, you can sometimes get into very real problems. Very, very real problems. Well, Garth, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program today. It's really been fascinating. We've covered an awful lot, but at least I hope we've intrigued our listeners out there. So go right ahead.
I hope they can go to the website and get more information now that it's back online again. It's www.immed.org, and there are a number of different categories that people can go to depending upon what their interests are, whether it's neurodegenerative diseases or neurobehavioral diseases or autoimmune diseases or fatiguing illnesses or so on, or Gulf War illness. They can go to different parts of the website and get information. They can go to treatment considerations and get information on diet and treating these chronic infections and treating heavy metal exposures and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of information available on that website for people to just peruse through and download medical publications.
All right, as far as getting rid of the heavy metals, do you recommend intravenous? Do you recommend the chelating agents they put on the skin, the rectal suppositories, oral, or what?
We've actually gone the rectal suppository route because I think it's safest, and rather than the intravenous route. And in fact, we've been studying a product called Detoximin a rectal suppository with EDTA, and we've been using that in diseases like prostatitis, for example, which is caused by chronic infections of the type we've been discussing, and we've had some very dramatic turnarounds. These people with chronic prostatitis that have been sick for literally years without any effect with oral antibiotics and so on. These are refractory patients. And yet if we do the combination of the antibiotics plus the chelators to remove the biofilm, now all of a sudden we start to see some very dramatic increases in these patients in terms of their recovery.
And do you really feel then that the heavy metals will interfere with the normal immune response?
Yes, they do. They interfere with the normal immune response, and they also allow the bacteria to colonize the certain areas and become enmeshed in a kind of network of biomolecules that are held together with metal ions. And these things are broken down by the chelating agents. So the chelating agents help in a number of different ways. They help, for example, in removing the plaques and preventing plaques from forming in the cardiovascular system as well. So they have a number of other benefits.
Well, I appreciate everything you do, and I appreciate you being willing to come on and help us here. And I just hope our listeners out there will go to your website. That's immed.org. That's www.immed.org. imed.org. Dr. Nicholson, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Stan, as usual.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, Dr. Stan here. Dr. Nicholson is certainly one of the outstanding physicians in our country, a scientist in our country, and we actually checked him out. Believe me, I wasn't going to put him on. And, of course, I went to the local medical library, and I started pulling down all of his articles. And after we got to about 250 of them, there was this paper all over the floor there in the, at the hospital. I finally said, don't bother to pull any more down. I guess he's who he said he is. Of course, since then, we've had an opportunity to talk to his students and to, I mean, everybody loved Dr. Garth Nicholson. But he had to leave for fear of his life. And if you haven't read his book, Project Daylily, you want to get it. It's written as fiction, but it's really all based upon fact. The only reason he wrote it as fiction was so he wouldn't get tied up in lawsuits, and they've tried to do that, play that game with him, too. They want to silence him because the last thing they want is for the American people and the military to find out that they've been using us and the military as human guinea pigs. You need to get the book, Project Daylily, and you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. Oh, you also want to get the Rockefeller Committee report. It's we just call it the Rockefeller report, but it's really from the Veterans Administration, 1994. But if you ask for the Rockefeller report, we'll know what you want. And it talks about all the experiments that have been done on the American military personnel and, you know, on the civilian personnel, without their knowledge and consent, and all the people who've died because of these experiments. And everything has been done to cover up the truth. We can't let the American people know. We have a great four-tape set on the Gulf War illness. We have a four-tape set on depleted uranium, which, of course, does create a disability in many of our young people in the military, because, of course, right now we're contaminating Iraq and that whole of the Middle East with depleted uranium, but it is not depleted at all. It's straight uranium. It's just that they've removed the uranium-235. The rest is uranium-238. And when it gets into your lungs, or when it gets into your bone marrow, it ravishes it. We have a great DVD put out by our friend Joyce Riley called Beyond Treason. And if you can watch that without weeping, why, you're better than I am. Not only that, but it comes with a CD-ROM that has thousands of pages of government documentation. They know how terribly toxic the depleted uranium is, but they can't let the American people know that they're destroying our military. And that's why, at least in part, why one in three of the young men coming back from military service in Iraq and Afghanistan are ill within 3 months today. And, of course, we have hundreds of thousands of the victims of the First and the Second Gulf War who are ill today. And we actually have the figures from the Veterans Administration. If you want to get them, we'll be glad to send them to you, pointing out that of the original 695,000 people that were in the Gulf War, 695,000, almost 80,000 are now no longer living. That's their term. They're no longer living. Well, I figure if they're no longer living, they've got to be dead. How could you do that and nobody would know about it? We have the page from the Veterans Administration website, if you'd like to get that. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Let me once again recommend Dr. Garth Nicholson's wonderful book, Project Daylily, the Rockefeller Committee Report, or the Rockefeller Report, the four-tape set on Gulf War, the four-tape set on depleted uranium, and, of course, a DVD, Beyond Treason, the story of the Gulf War and how they're destroying the lives of so many of our young people. And all the documentation there on the DVD, government records, of course, they don't want the public to know. Joyce Riley has been actually told by the military not to put this material out, not because it isn't true, but because they don't want the average soldier, the average member of the military to know that they're experimenting on our people and killing many of them. true or not? Well, check the facts. I mean, don't have to believe a word I say, but please check the facts and find out if what I'm telling you is the truth, because if it is, then men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, and you need to be involved in this battle. Our number 1-800-5-HIV.